right, here we go. Psalm 90 real quickly. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Be seated, please. Please be seated. Psalm 90. Man, Allison's getting into it. All right. Good deal. Man, that was a beautiful song, wasn't it? And Michaela wrote that song. I don't know if it was in the loss of her dad that caused her to do that, but I do know this. It's a beautiful song, and I think it brings great glory to God. And what a beautiful thought to give God a blank sheet of paper and let Him write our story. And I certainly am so glad to be here. I just want to just give everybody a big group hug. I'm so glad you're here. And looking forward to the opportunity to share in this semester with you. Thank you for making the time, the effort, the energy, the expense to get from wherever you were to this semester. And I'm excited about what God will do in our hearts and lives. And you guys are the best. I love being with you, and we thank you. We missed you while you were gone. I'm not going to preach out of Psalm 90. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. But I did speak of this last night in the service. There's a couple things I think as we start something that's important for us to consider, and that is time. Time is something you cannot get back. If you wreck your car, insurance can replace it. If you lose your watch, you can get another watch. If you break your phone, you can get another phone. But if you lose time, you can't get that back. And the psalmist here, Moses, understood that. He recognized that God was the one that had been our habitation for generation to generation. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He was the God of all time. And yet, time is something that is short in this lifetime for us. Sin complicates time. Sin wastes time. Sin really messes things up in a bad way and hurts us. But then we find that God asks us, and Moses cries out to the Lord. Verse number 12, read it with me, would you please? Psalm 90. Are you ready? Let's read it together. So teach us. Well, that's the wise Hiles Anderson College student that just says, Lord, teach me to evaluate time so that I can have wisdom to know what to do with my time. And I want to encourage you to use your time wisely. You're going to find out tomorrow some of your assignments for your classes, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday of next week, as you go to all your classes for the first time, and you're going to, in just a few moments, you new students will go to an orientation. You're going to find some things need to get done or things you need to acclimate to. We're looking forward to that. But I tell you, one of the success, what's going to separate the men from the boys and going to separate the girls from the ladies is going to be your use of time. How you do that. And I want to encourage you, be careful about that. Make sure that if you got assignments to do, spend your time wisely doing the assignments. Do them early on. I remember years ago, and I'm not a great example of this, but man, I'm telling you, I have been busy since I hit the ground running as a college student. And time was something I found out very quickly that I had to not waste. I'd oftentimes have a book in my hand as I would stand in line to get my meal at the lunchtime. I would oftentimes just segment time out just to do certain things. And I would go up to the library and just sit at the desk. And I said, okay, I got 30 minutes. I'm going to use the best time. I would read through all my notes every day. I would start for every class I have. I'd develop a notebook. And if you put them on your computer, that's great. It's easy to do that. If you need to do that now, I didn't have that opportunity back when I had a notebook. And I read every note of every class every day, one time through, out loud if I could. I would just read them. That kept me from having to cram when it came time for a quiz or a test. I didn't remember everything I read every time, but by the end of the semester, I could read through them very quickly, and they became rote to me. I knew at least the major parts of that. So every day I would take time to read my notes through, every day from start to finish. Now, as I get the semester got longer, that was more material, but I was more familiar with it. So I went through a lot faster. So I read my notes every day. But you got to take time to do that. You got to take time to walk with the Lord. You got to take time to spend time with Him and pray and seek the Lord's face. I want to encourage you. Use your time in classes wisely. Listen carefully. Don't get goofing around and checking the ESPN scores in the middle of a class time. Whether it be church ed or another class or what have you, be focused. I find now, friends, that I have a lot more to do, I say a lot more, I have a greater amount of help to do it with. God has given me, and of course I never planned to be the pastor of First Baptist Church or stand here. I remember coming here on vacation back when we just had three children just Tyler and Derek and Preston, and we sat right here and took a picture, a family picture together, just to, you know, maybe 10 years after I left here to go off into the ministry, came through here on a vacation and took a picture. Never knew that I would stand here as a chancellor of a college. But one thing that God helped me, even when I was going to college, to accept greater responsibility, you need to manage time wisely and be busy. And it doesn't have to be busy just for the sake of being busy, but say, okay, what am I doing with this right here? You'll be a more effective dad, effective mom. You'll be effective husband, effective wife, effective as a school teacher, a staff member, a bus worker, a bus captain, whatever you have to do. And then what happens, God puts more on you as you handle the things God has given you. And you have great examples here in this college and in the administration of people who have tremendous amount of workloads, but they manage their time well. And I think that's something we have to discipline ourselves. And Moses said, Lord, teach me to number my days that I can apply my heart to wisdom. I want you to look at another verse real quickly in this passage. And if you could, please, look at verse 16 and read it out loud with me, would you please? Let thy work appear. You know, that is really the prayer of Moses and also the prayer of anyone who cares about you. Let your work appear to your servants. We want God to use us. Someone said, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. What you want to do is have a life only God can explain. You want to have a life that people say, I don't understand all this happened. I don't know why God is using that young lady, why he uses that young man. But it's obvious God's doing it. It's a work that only God could explain. And not only it blesses them, but it blesses your children in the future. Your children will be blessed if you use time wisely. And then the Bible says, let the beauty of the Lord be on top of you. And may it be obvious that God's presence is upon your life. And then make eternal the works of our hands. That's the prayer that Moses prayed. And we pray that for you. 47 years ago today, there were monks on this campus. This building was not here. Just the core buildings. Many of the dormitories were not here. The gymnasium was not across the lake. 47 years ago, there was not a Hiles Anderson College on this property. 13 years prior to that, Brother Hiles came to Hammond. He came to First Baptist Hammond, a little pie-shaped auditorium, about 700 people, asking to be their pastor. A few months later, half of them left and went somewhere else. And he began to win the lost and disciple the saved. 13 years later, God laid on his heart while he was in Pomona, California, to start Hiles Anderson College. And he got with his friend, Brother Russell Anderson, who was a successful, godly businessman, and they got together and they began this. The first 2 years was at the Hammond Baptist campus, and then this property was a place that was began to go up for sale. It was told to them they would never sell this Catholic facility to a Baptist organization, but a few years later God worked that out, where that happened with sacrifice of men and women taking off their wedding bands, putting them in the offering plate, going and cashing out life insurance policies and selling things and selling vehicles and putting an investment into our lives. 13 years later, I would come in 1985 and had the joy to come here as a student. 37,500 people have sat in this auditorium as students in Hiles Anderson College and have come to this place. And none of that stuff, really, I didn't make that investment. I am a result of the investment made by other people. But it's a proof that God can. He can honor faith. And I think about his call. I called today Brother Rick Martin, who's in the Philippines. And he and his wife Becky came here and sat in this auditorium. And then they sat in the auditorium at the church. And there, one day, he leaned over and said, I think God wants us to go to the Philippines. And she said, well, that's what you think. I'll follow you. You know, Brother Kevin Nguyen, his wife Deborah, been serving the Lord there faithfully in Mexico City. Wes Paul and Cynthia, little Cynthia was a young lady who came because of a Hiles Anderson College student, got her to come on the bus and went to City Baptist and came to Hiles Anderson College. They both got married, now serving the Lord in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Talked to them this week. And I could stay here all day long and tell you, and then Brother Anthony could tell you, and Brother Aaron could tell you, And Dr. Douglas could tell you story after story of men and women who God used the instruction, the model of First Baptist Church and Hiles Anderson College, not a perfect place, never will be, but a place where we want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to focus on His Word. We want to share His love. It ought to be a place, it ought to be the greatest institution. I want it to be an institution that honors the Lord, has high academics. By the way, work harder. I graded my papers for the discipleship class, and those are mostly freshmen in there, but freshmen, I want to encourage you to do your very, very best. Don't slack off. Turn your assignments in. Pretend as though you're giving your assignment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to do your best for Him, not for the praise of men, but for the glory of the Lord. And know that what you're doing is a preparation for an eternal opportunity. And God is looking. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. It doesn't matter if you're Caucasian, you're Spanish, you're black. It doesn't matter if you're Asian. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It matters if your heart is right before the Lord. God's looking. He loves you. And He has a plan for your life. And don't doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. And I'm so thankful for the faith that has led this body of believers at First Baptist Church to establish this training institution of Hiles Anderson College. I'm so thankful I can be here. And I'm thankful that you're here. And we believe God brought you. And we're excited about what God's going to do in your heart and life. And we want you to reach the potential that the Lord Jesus has for you. Now, if you would please take your Bibles. And I'm just going to take a moment or two in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to share with you something that you're going to need this semester, and you're going to need it all through your life, and that is faith. Amen. Faith. The moving mountains, faith prayer meetings, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. But all of us need faith. Faith is not just one way to please God. It's the only way to please Him. And faith is trusting God enough to just do what He asks us to do. Trusting God enough to obey Him. And that's why faith. You know why I tithe? I tithe by faith. You know why I go soul winning? I soul win by faith. You know why I keep gospel tracts and give them out? I did it by faith. I went and made two soul winning calls this morning, and one person was home, the other person wasn't home, and they're people I'm praying for to be saved. And I had a little window of time this morning between 8:30 and 9:30, and I went and knocked on their door by faith, hoping that my visit could result in the salvation of their soul. I'm going to meet a man this afternoon. I'm going to go out to Crown Point and take time to sit down with him and hopefully lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm doing that by faith, not because I really want to do it, not because I'm a little nervous. I don't know if he's going to accept me or reject me. I don't know if he's going to be glad I was there or he's going to ask me to leave. But I'm doing it by faith. What we do by faith. And great Christians throughout history have done what they've done because they trusted God enough to just obey Him. And we work in their bus routes by faith. It may seem silly to the average person. Why would you spend 5, 6, 7 hours out in Chicago and walking around and greeting kids and trying to get them on the bus and convincing moms and dads to let them come and telling them about the Lord? Why would you do that? You do it by faith. Why would you come to Hiles Anderson College? You do it by faith. Many of us are here. We're not here for funds. We're here for faith. And because, man, it's going to be a tough one, trying to get things all figured out. And you're going to need to trust the Lord. By the way, everyone who lives for the Lord is going to do so by faith. G. Campbell Morgan made this statement, faith apprehends an area larger than reason can contain. Faith is a lot bigger than reason. Sometimes we do things for the Christian life and for the Lord that may not make sense to us or anyone else. We do it because God told us to do it. And all through the Bible you see that. You see Abraham and Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and Isaac and Joseph and Gideon and all the people that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. They did things, and the only reason they did, as you can see, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, and he traveled around and looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He left probably a nice home, got up and left, and he spent his rest of his life with his wife Sarah in a tent. And people ask him, where are you from, Ur? Why are you out here? Because God told me to. Where are you going? Not really sure. How come you're living like this? Because God asked me to. Noah building an ark. He was building an ark. Over 100 years of labor. Building an ark, being made fun of. People asking, what are you going to do? I'm building an ark. Why are you making an ark? God told me to. What's going to happen? It's going to rain. Who said so? God said so. It was unreasonable while he would do that. Abel taking one of his sheep and laying it up on the altar, pulling his head back, cutting his neck, cutting his throat, letting his blood fill the altar, and then set him on fire. Why would you do that? Because God told him to. These are things that all of us need in the world and certainly in this semester. And we want to be faith-filled leaders. I want to be a faith-filled pastor. Sometimes just even thinking about some of the challenges that we face as a leader of a church, whether you pastor a church of 50 or 5,000, it doesn't matter. It takes faith to continue to believe God. It takes faith to be a teacher in this college here or to be a staff member. It takes faith to drive down the road, hoping the guy on their left will stay in his lane, the guy on the right will stay in his lane. It takes faith to go eat at McDonald's. Some of you work at McDonald's. It takes a lot of faith. And hoping the guy or girl who makes that will make it for you and will take care of it, all those things. But let's real quickly take a moment or two and talk about what faith does. Real quickly, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. This is what gave them a good testimony, because of faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By the way, you weren't there when the world was created. You believe that because God said so. So that the things that are seen are not made of things that do, which do appear. Then I want you to look at verse number 4. Would you read it with me, everyone? By faith Abel, we'll take a few moments and just talk about the faith of Abel if we can. I'm going to spend more time this chapel in the spring semester talking about the marriage relationships and the roles of a husband or roles of a wife and the dynamics of a Christian home and maybe a little bit about raising children or philosophies about that, because I want to help you as you prepare, because if you don't do your homework, you're going to fail in the test of ministry. If you don't learn how to take care and figure out what your role is as a husband, as a wife, I believe I can help you. And I'm not a great example of that, but the Bible has great insights on how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good father and mother. And I want you to at least have some preventive maintenance as you prepare and look down the road of your future. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about what faith does. In the story of Abel, faith learns to worship God. Worship is shown through Abel. Now, it's not the kind of worship we do today, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful I don't have to find a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove or a young pigeon and break open their body and let the blood flow like it did back in the years gone by as a symbol, the innocent dying for us, the guilty. But he shows us a way of worship, and I want you to notice this. If you and I are going to be all we ought to be for God, you're going to have to learn to have enough faith to worship the Lord. What does worship require? I want you to see this passage that you just now read. Look at it, if you would please, in verse number 3. The Bible says this, by faith Abel, number 1, worship offers. Offers unto whom? God. Worship comes with giving. I try to do this every time I come to church. I want to have in my wallet or in my pocket some money to give to the Lord. It may not be a lot of money. It may be a dollar. It may be five, maybe 10, maybe 20. But I, on purpose, when I go to church, I want to worship the Lord. Someone says, who's your worship team? Who's on your worship team at First Baptist Church? That's the ushers. Okay? They're the worship team. That's one of the teams that helps us to give to the Lord. And worship offers to God. Now, it doesn't always have to be finances, but I think it's a beautiful thing. When you see the word worship in the Old Testament, you see the act of worship, people brought something to the Lord. Three times a year, every in Deuteronomy 16:16, that every male in Israel had to stop what they were doing and come down to Jerusalem to the temple at the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and those kind of things. They began to do that. And every time they came, he said, when you come, don't come empty-handed. Don't come without anything. Because worship entails offering. Offering. The first thing that worship does, and the faith that worship will offer to God. I want to encourage you that. Worship the Lord. I was talking to someone recently, and they were telling me their pastor, he was crying. He said, Pastor, I remember meeting with him about 2 years ago. And one of the biggest problems, they were having troubles back then, and one thing I could not convince him of is the importance of giving to the Lord, honoring the Lord with the tithe. I believe that with all my heart. And I know there are people a lot smarter than me that want to argue about that tithing is not in the New Testament. We don't have to do that today. And to me, I'm not taking my chances. I think I have enough information, and I've lived long enough to experience the joy of giving a tithe and an offering to the Lord. And it's the least we could do. If God set that barrier at 10% before the cross, after the cross, we and I ought to do more than that and try to give beyond that. Let God grow our tithe and we grow our offering. But I was talking to this gentleman, and he began to cry to me. And I've got a meeting with him in future days where I'm going to have the opportunity to talk with he and his family. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'm praying that God will help. And I asked him, I said, you know, I remember we talked about this before, but have you been a faithful honoring the Lord with your offerings and your tithes? And he said, Pastor, I haven't. He said, I remember talking about that, and you told me how important it is. And I just, it's been a block. He said, but I have done that for the last 2 weeks. And God has broken my heart. God has reminded me I have stolen from him. I've been a terrible parishioner at the church. I've been a terrible servant of God. And now God is showing me all the sin that I have committed against him. And it's, a lot of it is because he's not willing to worship the Lord and offer to the Lord. The second thing, he offered sacrifice. Look, if you would please, at verse number 4 again. The Bible tells us that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I just think, friends, if you're going to offer the Lord, if you're going to worship the Lord, you're going to need to be willing to sacrifice some things. If you're going to have time worship, you remember the story of Martha, Luke chapter 10, verse number 38, 39, 40, 41. In the book of Luke, there's a story of Jesus going to a house, and Martha was very busy, and Mary sat and worshiped at the feet of Jesus. And Martha finally came in frustrated and said, Jesus, why don't you rebuke my sister and tell her to get over and help me? I'm so busy and I'm working by myself. And he said to her, Martha, Martha, you've made yourself busy about a lot of things. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, but Mary has chosen the better. Because, you know, oftentimes we find our spiritual, we think we're spiritual if we're busy. But you can be busy and barren if you do not spend time walking with God, worshiping him. And by the way, by giving to the Lord, by offering, where your treasure is, there your... A person who does not honor the Lord with his gifts will not spend time with the Lord in real significance. Their heart will not be drawn to that. And you and I need to offer the Lord, but we also need to sacrifice. Let me give you a couple things you have to sacrifice. Sometimes to worship the Lord, you're going to have to sacrifice time. You're going to have to set aside time to spend time with the Lord. Time that you would enjoy sleeping. Time that you might enjoy in a video game. Time you might enjoy looking up Facebook or Instagram. Our phone draws us to see some things, but they just take up minutes and hours of time you can't get back. And oftentimes, the things we see and we hear defile our mind and are counterproductive to spending time with the Lord. Sometimes it's time with your friends. And we spend sometimes 1, 2, 3 hours in the late time of night where oftentimes nothing good is being said or accomplished, and we could be time resting for the next day tomorrow or spending time with our Lord. You have to sacrifice some time. Might as well sacrifice some fun, some activity that you really enjoy. You might have to sacrifice some friendships. There are things that are counterproductive to your walk with the Lord. And we find that Abel was a good example of someone who had faith enough to worship God. Why? Because he offered to God. he sacrificed to God. But I want you to notice the rest of it, and I need to close. But look, if you would please, at verse number 4. The Bible tells us that he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. Well, that's a great concept. I won't spend a lot of time on that, but you want to just do the right thing. The Bible majors on righteousness. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. Yeah. Righteousness is all over the Bible. Even for salvation, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. You'll see that all through the scriptures, that righteousness is something that God thinks is good. He said, Abel obtained righteousness because of his worship. And then I want you to notice the last thing of this passage. And this is something very powerful to me for you. And the Bible says, and God does what? Testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. God testifies. He has a good and long-lasting and eternal testimony for his worship. Now, I do not know who will be the successful young people in this room long term. I don't know. I think all of us can be. But it's our quiet time alone that's going to give us power to obey. You can see what someone is doing now, and you can see a beautiful pastor's wife or a beautiful missionary's wife or someone who's devoted themselves to serve Christ as a single adult man or a woman. You can see successful Christians, but what you can't see is where they were in times of worship. But whenever that is real, whenever that is seen, the Bible says, the Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And the Bible says that God testifies of Abel's gifts. And now he is dead, but we're still talking about him. Even being dead, he yet speaketh. And you know who's talking about him? God is. One thing I want for every one of you young people, I want God to speak about your works that he used himself to do through you. But that's going to have to go back to a place and time of worship. Offering sacrifice to the Lord, doing the right thing, and letting God take care of the benefits and results. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open Chapel 2019. I'm humbled. I'm honored. We love these young people. I pray you would help them. Pray you, God, you would help them as they dedicate themselves to you, to do the very best they can. I pray you bless Brother Gomez. He'll preach tomorrow, and I know that, God, you'll use him. But I pray that you would please begin in our hearts right now to dedicate ourselves to thee and this semester to honor you. We pray this in your precious name. Would you stand together with me?